resurrection animate us to action in the here and now? The resurrection of Jesus contradicts the very order of death in this life, and we are invited to live out that contradiction today. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Common Prayer for Wednesday, April 15th. I pray that your week is continuing to go well as we sit a few days removed from, again, celebrating the center point of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus. It's been so good for me to just reflect on it again. So often we've rushed past Easter, but as we talked about yesterday, there is a real sense that with the pace of our lives now, we get the opportunity to slow down and the invitation to maybe marinate and explore the depth of resurrection a little bit more this year. So I hope it's been as fruitful for you as it has for me. I want to continue to do that, but today I want to look a little bit at how the resurrection hope animates us in this life. So often it can be, when we talk about hope, it can be something that's rendered to some future reality, really disconnected from our own life here and now. And so I want to explore that a little bit. I want to pray into that a little bit and just see where it takes us. And I want to do so starting with, 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most like magisterial texts in the scriptures. It's just this like dense, intricate piece of literature that Paul writes, and in it about partway through, and it's all on the resurrection, and it's again, it's very complex, but he writes this. He says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now, this phrase "fallen asleep" is—it's kind of an idiom for those who have died. But what I want you to notice is that Paul says that the resurrected Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And this idea of first fruits really comes back to the reality that what we see in Jesus is the beginning, the first fruits of that which is to come for all of us. And so the resurrected Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So in other words, what we see in Jesus is what we see or what we will see for us to come. So it's the work of resurrection is a foretaste of new creation, is the foretaste of that which is to come here and now. And so what we must realize is that this hope then is not simply something that renders us numb until some future event, but rather the resurrection hope actually agitates us with the reality of today. Because when Jesus is resurrected, he brings about a new way of being in this world. When Jesus defeats death, he does so in a way that says there is coming a new creation in which death no longer exists. And he says it begins here with me. So again, our hope in the resurrection is not merely some future event, but is a present reality. The bodily resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits of new creation reminds us that God is still working to restore all things. And not just that, but yet we are invited to live into that reality. And so when we talk about this concept of hope, it's such an interesting one because, the very possibility of hope or the very conception of hope assumes that the present reality has the possibility of change. To hope in something is to identify that what you experience now in this present reality is not what it could be. And so to be resurrection people, to be people of hope, is to recognize the fallenness of this particular moment. It's to call into question the status quo of how things are now, realizing that if we are resurrection people, that means that we have hope for change in this world here and now. One of my favorite theologians, he's a German theologian named Jürgen Moltmann. He writes this in one of his books called Theology of Hope. He says, "The raising of Christ is not merely a consolation to him in a life that is full of distress and doomed to die." So he says, he's opening this quote, and he says, the raising of Christ is not merely a consolation. It's not something that we just kind of take in to numb us to the pain of now and hopes of some sort of future. He goes on, it says, but it is also God's contradiction of suffering and death, of humiliation and offense, and of the wickedness of evil. Hope finds in Christ not only a consolation in suffering, but also the protest of the divine promise against suffering. That is why faith, wherever it develops into hope, causes not rest but unrest, not patience but impatience. Those who hope in Christ can no longer put up with reality as it is, but begin to suffer under it, to contradict it. Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. So he begins by saying that the resurrection, where it develops into hope, causes not rest but unrest. And what he means by that is that as resurrection people, we do not simply rest on our laurels because now we've witnessed the resurrected Jesus who has altered the status quo. If the status quo is death, Jesus' resurrection says that's not the way things have to be. And so in some way, as we envision this hope of resurrection, we recognize that God is at work restoring, renewing, and confronting the here and now. So he says resurrection doesn't cause rest but unrest, not patience but impatience. He says it's not that it fosters this ho-hum, we just rest now and wait, but rather this impatience because we've gotten a foretaste of what that new creation will be. And I love that last line where he says, those who hope in Christ no longer put up with reality as it is, but we begin to suffer under it in order to contradict it. See, in some way, Jesus' death and resurrection was his way of succumbing to the order of things, to suffer under the present reality of death, but he does so for the purpose of contradicting it. And so in the same way, the resurrection, as we understand the resurrected Jesus who has defeated death, that animates us to contradict the present as well. It reminds us that God is not finished with this world, but it is the redeeming and renewing of this world that God is after. So to live into resurrection is to understand that death, brokenness, pain, suffering, all of that is a contradiction to the resurrection. It's to announce that death and all of its friends no longer belongs in this very world, and therefore we work to extinguish all manner of death and brokenness that we witness, because we understand that resurrection is the true reality of the world, and that one day we too will be resurrected with Jesus as new creation is established on this earth. I mean, the prophets would speak about this as something of justice flowing down like rivers, of renewal, of hope, of all of this, of God's righteousness, all of this joy that would pour out over creation. And so for us to be resurrection people is to affirm life in all places. It's to recognize that wherever we find death and brokenness, we bring life. And I think what's so beautiful about this moment is you see this happening. You see the church around the world rising up to support those who are facing death, to support those in suffering. You see meal trains throughout the Bay Area, beautiful expression of bringing life to hope, to places where it's needed, to bring hope in hopeless situations. To be resurrection people is to look at the brokenness of the status quo and say, this is not the way it has to be. And so as we live as resurrection people, we live to contradict the brokenness, saying suffering and death is not the order of things any longer. And so it may end in us ceasing to breathe, right? But we recognize that resurrection is coming. And so we live in light of that in the here and now, because we've witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, which fundamentally alters the present life. So what I thought we would do as our prayer is we would consider this contradiction of what it means to contradict brokenness. I want to do so from one of my favorite prayers by St. Francis of Assisi, where he lays out all these different ways in which we too are to contradict the brokenness of the world. So as we prepare, again, why don't you begin by taking a few deep breaths. Again, slow your mind down. as we start, I want you to bring to mind that resurrection hope that we have. Again, Paul says, if Christ wasn't resurrected, we are most to be pitied. So bring to mind the hope that Jesus has in fact walked out of that tomb. Before I read this prayer of St. Francis, I want you to spend a moment just thanking God for the resurrection and considering all that, the depth that it has. Just spend a moment in gratitude. As I read these words, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to maybe highlight ways in which you've been invited to contradict the brokenness of this world, to contradict the status quo, and live into the hope that we know is present now. So allow these words from a follower of Jesus from many years before us speak to you, and may it become our prayer as well. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. It is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us in Common Prayer. Our prayer is that our church family would continue to connect with each other and grow in our connection and relationship with God. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed. Music is written and produced by myself, Brandon Passion. Be sure to check back daily for new episodes at cpc.org.